I don't know why. I really don't. But Christmas has always made me sad. I've always gotten what my mom called the Christmas blues. I always identified with Charlie Brown and Elvis to a lesser extent. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. And I didn't even know who I was without. I just knew Christmas was going to be blue. And it wasn't, it was one year in particular, I remember it was actually on New Year's Eve that I laid in my bed crying so loudly that my sister heard me and I had to deny that I'd been crying the night before. The next morning, she was asking at the breakfast table what you were crying about, and I was so defensive that I almost got spanked and made to cry. My mom gave me the old, if you don't hush that, I'll give you something to cry about speech that never worked, but that she gave. And I think it's just a tender time. It's a time when we're, for whatever reason, maybe it is the darkness. Maybe it's, just the continual barrage of happy music. Maybe it's the lights. Whatever it is, there's this contrast between, what I feel, what the world feels like to me, and to most people, I think, and to this projection of what we're supposed to be like. And I just feel that gap bigger during those times of years. And you just can't ignore the sadness of this life. It's inescapable. Tim Keller, when he talks about marriage to singles and groups and young married groups, he says, this is the difference between being single and being married. Being single is always hard, and sometimes it's tragic. But being married is always hard, and sometimes it's tragic. And I think that, I don't disagree with him much, because when you do, you're wrong. But he's wrong about that. It's always tragic. It always leads to pain. Love always leads to pain. C.S. Lewis says to love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up in a safe, in a casket or a coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. For to love is to be vulnerable. One of the things I do every year, this time of year, is I, rather than going and watching a bunch of Christmas movies, I get our favorite sitcoms and I watch the Christmas episodes over and over. And so last week I was watching The Middle. The Middle is my favorite sitcom. It really does describe people in this part of the world. Everything the characters have said in that show, I have said at one time or another. And there's this little boy on there who is super smart and super awkward. And he's in this particular, his name is Brick. And in this Christmas episode, he's just bumming everybody out. And he's bumming everybody out because he lost his Santa Claus Pez dispenser. It was here, but now it's gone. And it being gone has left him thinking about death. And he says to his dad one day, he says, I started thinking that someday you'll be gone. And then I'll be gone. And we'll all be gone. And his dad, Mike Heck, says, well, sure. Everybody worries about death. It's terrifying. But you know what we do? We shove it out of our minds. That's why we have books and candy and water parks and TV. It's all just one big old distraction from death. All better? And that's really true. Like, and to some degree, I feel that way. I feel like the flowers and the lights are to distract us. because life is sad. You know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Y'all came here to be honest, right? Let's just be honest. What happens if you really love somebody? There's only two ways it's going to end. Either they're going to break your heart and leave, or you're going to break their heart and leave. Or you're going to love them until you die, or until they die. Those are four terrible endings. And into this world of sadness, Jesus enters. He comes. He didn't have to. This is the miracle of Christmas is not, I mean, well, everything's a miracle about Christmas. God himself becoming human flesh. But the true mystery of Christmas is that he would do it. Why would he do it? What was it that he saw that made him want to do it? He comes into this world to experience pain with us. He comes into this world to touch our pain, and everything he touches, he transforms and he heals. He comes into this world, he enters this life of pain to transform everything he touches. First thing I want you to see is this sweet woman who is afraid of him. She's afraid he's going to reject her. You see, not only is she sick, but she's unclean. She's got this flow of blood, which means that anything that touches blood is unclean and can't go to the temple. And so no religious person would have anything to do with her. It became a point of honor how far you had stayed away from unclean people. If unclean people are bad and clean people are good, then the further you stay away from the unclean, the better you are. If you read the Talmud, this large collection of commentaries on the law, one rabbi would brag about never going on a street where a leper had walked. And another rabbi bragged that he would never buy an egg from a vendor who had sold anything to a leper. They're bragging about how far they had stayed away from the unclean. And here's this woman, and she knows that if she sees Jesus, he's going to reject her. But she, in fear and terror and faith and all those things mixed together that we all know so well and we live with so well, she reaches out and she touches him. And he turns around and he said, Who touched me? And he won't leave until she tells him, I love this understatement. She told him the whole story. That had to take a long time. She had suffered many things. This is also funny. She had suffered many things at the hand of physicians. Luke, the physician, leaves that verse out when he tells the story. I think that's funny. But she had suffered many things, and she told him the whole story. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter. He receives her. He gives her a place. He touches her. He receives her. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus. He does the same thing with a leper in Mark 4. A man who's unclean comes to him and says, sir, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, very fascinating phrase. You can make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing. And touches him. And that touch, which according to the law would make Jesus unclean, it actually made the sick man, the leper, clean. And what we see in this text is that our weakness, our sickness, our uncleanness draws out Jesus' compassion. It's not their strength. It's not their beauty. It's not their smarts. It's their weakness that draws out Jesus. Tony Campolo, who passed away recently, used to tell a story about flying across the country from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, and he had this little four-year-old behind him who was very annoying, kicked his seat a lot, sang a lot, talked a lot. She was going to see Daddy. She was so happy about going to see Daddy. Daddy, Daddy this, Daddy that, Daddy this. Mom gave her a huge half-pound bag of M&Ms to make her be quiet. So she just started popping those M&Ms, popping them. And somewhere near Los Angeles, they encountered turbulence, and it got hot on the plane, and she did what children do in the midst of turbulence and heat when they have a half pound of chocolate in their stomach. She sicked all over herself, and she didn't talk anymore about Daddy. And Tony Campolo, in his sinister, dark heart, said, "I was so glad she was quiet." And he walked off the plane, and he got, you know, he's sitting in front of her, so he gets off first. And he walks past through the jet bridge and into the waiting area. And he sees in bright white pants and a bright yellow California shirt, Daddy. And he's just like, he wonders. He stops. He slows down. He says, "I wanted to see how Daddy was going to receive this girl who was sick all over her." And he said, "Daddy ran to her and picked her up and just hugged her, kissed her, and got her sick all over him, and just comforted her with his kisses." And he said to his wife, "Honey, I don't like to do this, but would you mind getting the bags? I feel like my daughter needs me right now." See, her sickness, her pathetic, sad sickness did not make Father want to run away. It drew him to her. That's not surprising. If you're a parent, you understand that. Do you understand that God is the same way for you? Your broken heart, your inability to be as happy as you feel like you ought to be, your inability to rejoice always the way the Bible tells you to rejoice, your very sadness, your weakness draws out God's heart for you. We don't make Him unclean. He makes us clean. But Jesus doesn't just touch us and doesn't just convince us of His goodness. He transforms everything He touches. He goes in to this little girl's house and she's died. But He says, "No, she's just asleep. Don't." He looks at the dad, Jairus, and he says, "Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe anything but me. Just believe me." And he goes into the room and just very sweetly, using kind of Aramaic pet language, "Sweetheart, wake up. It's time to get up." And he wakes her up. Jesus transforms what He touches. He is full of life, and His life overwhelms death. That was a small taste of what He was going to do when He goes to the cross and get sucked down into the grave. The grave didn't know that He was going there willingly, going there willfully, going there with the intention of sucking every bit of poison out of that cup. And He transforms death. He doesn't eradicate it yet, but He transforms it so that it's no longer an end. It's no longer something we have to fear with sweet little Brick Heck and Mike Heck. It still casts a shadow, but it only casts a shadow. It's just a shadow. There's one pastor who was driving. His wife had died suddenly, and he still had two young children. And they were going to the funeral, and his children had a lot of questions. Where was Mom? What's going on? Where's Jesus and all this? And while they were in the back of the limo on the way to the funeral, a truck passed them, and the shadow of the truck, you know, came across the car. And he said to them, did y'all see that shadow? Did you feel the shadow? And they said, "Yeah, of course." And he said, "Did the shadow hurt?" "Of course not, Dad. That's a stupid question." He said, "I know it's hard to understand this, but Mom has only passed into the shadow of death because Jesus took the full brunt of the truck. He experienced it and He transformed it so that Mom is only in the shadows. She's still here with us. She's just in the shadows. And that's the hope, the reason why we can get together on the longest night of the year and we can be sad together without fear is because our sadness has a floor. Because death has been defeated. Because it's not just the end. It's not just you'll be gone and I'll be gone and we'll be gone forever. It's a transition to another place. It is going to be with the Lord. It's going to be with Jesus. And one day He will come to us and say, "Sweetheart, it's time to get up." And on that day, everything that's wrong will be made right. And until then, we live with that faith. We live in that trust. Believing with the Apostle Paul that Jesus will reign until He's put all things under His feet. And the last thing to be defeated will be death. And with it will be all betrayal and all pain and all heartbreak. And He'll wipe the last tear out of our eyes. And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the valley of darkness, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we come to You this morning with this evening with hope in the midst of our tears. And we confess that it's hard to maintain that hope. And we pray that You would, Father, we see Jesus right now through a dark, dim glass. And we pray that You'd make the glass just a little bit clearer. That You make our faith just a little bit stronger. And we grieve those that we miss. And we can't wait to see them again. But just like Jesus had to convince this woman who was so afraid that He's good and can be trusted, would You convince us that You are good and You can be trusted until that day?